Hello, hello, my friends, my family, my community, my tribe. Welcome to the Hippie Moms Podcast. What's up, my friends? So, always so happy you're here. I'm super stoked to release this podcast, this conversation I had with Dr. Beverly Yates. She's phenomenal, and I'm super honored that she's here for our community to really let us know what's happening in the world related to diabetes. And I'm going to go into a quick intro with her, but I just want to give a shout out to our incredible sponsors, our sponsor, the Berkey. So this is a water filter system that I have. I love it because one, let me tell you, the first thing we need to truly live is air. Right? Okay. So we need good, clean, filtered air. That's why I did a whole podcast on it. You can look the earlier episodes of Hippie Moms where I go into air and houseplants. And the second thing is water. We need water. We're anywhere from 55 to 60% water. And so it's so important that we have clean, filtered water. And unfortunately, in our water systems, there are heavy metals, there are pesticides, there are even pharmaceuticals, you guys, because that's how people actually release pharmaceuticals is through they excrete them when they go to the bathroom. So disgusting. And it ends up in our water. Yes, I know. It's so horrible. And so this is why I really want everyone to have a water system. Now, not everyone can afford really expensive water systems. I have had my Berkey water system for over 5 years. The carbon block filters, which I use, last for 3 years. And then there's fluoride filters because we do not want fluoride. My friends, remember, fluoride is a neurotoxin. And it also can calcify the pineal gland. That's your spiritual connection to the world. It's in charge of your melatonin production. It's so important that we don't have calcified pineal glands. Okay, so we need clean water. That's my whole point. So I'm gonna get a link in the show notes if you just want to explore. If you do not have clean filtered water, this is absolutely number one priority. Okay, make sure you have clean filtered water. And if you are using filters, make sure you're changing them, okay? Make sure that you're always up and on top of that. And the fluoride filters that you can buy with the Berkey, which most of us need, especially if you are within a city, most cities actually add fluoride, you want to make sure you get that out. And so the fluoride filters last a year. So actually, overall, it's a really inexpensive way to have filtered water. I used to go to the water store and get water all the time. I can't even believe I spent most of my life doing that. So now it's so nice to have a clean water system at home. And I take it. If I go traveling, if we're away, you know, we're in the car and we're traveling, I take it with us. Then I don't have to worry about buying plastic water bottles, which I don't want to drink water out of plastic either. So that's another thing. Eliminate plastic bottles, you guys. The earth cannot digest it. Okay, so let's move in. So Dr. Beverly Yates, I actually met her through a group called Mindshare. It is a group of incredible holistic minded doctors, functional medicine practitioners, people that are really on this path with us, you guys. And I am so, it's just so amazing that I get to be connected with so many awesome people that are really on a mission to serve people. And Dr. Beverly's mission is she wants to help 3 million people heal from type 2 diabetes and prediabetes. You guys, it is insane. We go into the statistics. I'm going to leave that for you so you can listen to this, but it is crazy. I bet you know someone that has diabetes. Maybe you have diabetes. Dr. Beverly is someone she's not only a diabetes expert, but she has 27 years experience working with those who struggle with blood sugar issues that are related to type 2 diabetes and prediabetes. And the thing is, you guys, there's no medicine that's ever going to change this illness or this disease within you. It's lifestyle changes. And we have to start basically bringing these lifestyle, you know, ways of living into our homes now so we don't get diabetes, right? It's all about prevention. This podcast is all about prevention. We are preventing disease. We are preventing illnesses by living in a way that is in alignment with Mother Nature, that is in alignment with how humans are supposed to live. And we really need to dive into this. And Dr. Bev gives us so many incredible tips on how to build a meal. She even gives us a green smoothie recipe. She really talks about, you know, blood sugar regulation, why these things are important. Sometimes I kind of get like, I don't want to know about that stuff, but you want to know about this stuff. Like, we want to know how we can help our children, because I don't know about you, but sugar is like my arch nemesis. It is so hard to manage it with kids. Trust me, I get it, Mama. I get it. I struggle too, okay? I have not figured it out. That's why I need experts. That's why I need little, you know, seeds of wisdom and inspiration that I can begin to implement in my life, because I'm on the journey with you, okay? So without further ado, let's hop into this conversation, and I just can't wait for you to check it out, all right?
I think we could roll into a conversation and, you know, we can touch on this issue that diabetes and blood sugar issues often run in families. Mm. Sometimes it's an issue of genetics expressing, but it might be more that the environment is showing that there's a genetic weakness or predisposition towards this. Mm-hmm. And that if you're a family, if you are a mom and you're the head of the family, you're the one who's running it. Let's be honest. In most households, this is how this works.
Yeah.
You know, I know people who are two mom households and I know two dad households, and somebody's in that seat. So if you're the person in that seat,
yes,
you really need to manage how your family does rewards around food and celebrations. And that's not to say you never have cake or ice cream. I am not saying that,
right.
But you don't want it to be that that's the go-to for everything. You know, it's just to strike that balance and to look at how your family has managed this through the generations. Because I know when my mom moved out there, it was such a gift to have grandma. That was awesome. The one thing though was she had her candy jar. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know she had a candy jar, but with grandkids, suddenly here became a candy jar. She was part of that generation, right? So you start to treat the kids, the grandkids, mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. that taste towards sugar and with taste buds and habits and training. Ooh, that can be a sticky wicket. So, you know, not to punish people or to blame them or shame them, but just to say as parents, we really have to manage how this unfolds, or we are setting kids up to fail and to have problems in their adult life. And that's not what we want for our kids. That's not what we want.
Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, Dr. Bev, like, we want our kids to be healthier than we are.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, that's really what we want. We want them to be healthy. We want them to have energy.
Yeah.
And yet we must be that first.
Mm-hmm.
We truly must embody that. So let's kind of dive in here, because I realized at one point of motherhood that mm-hmm. I became my kid's drug dealer, the drug of preference being sugar. I really was, and at some kind of still am sometimes, you know, they want treats. They want to have these things to eat. And if they don't have them, they're addicted to them.
Right.
Right. And so I think we need to kind of back up and see what's really happening here. And why is sugar so addictive to humans? Like, why do we
so much? So different people have different thoughts about this. Here's my takeaway, especially from the clinical point of view. I think that back in the day, before we had 24/7 access to food of any kind, mm-hmm. we were wired to select things out of the environment that were sweet tasting. Okay. Not, there was no added sugars, because if you're not eating it from the processed aisle, there's no added sugar, right?
Right.
So back in the day, hundreds and thousands of years ago, as humans evolved, there was no such thing as adding sugar, but we could eat things that were seasonally available that were starchy. And that would include fruits, right? Or it might be roots or tubers, things that would be some kind of carbohydrate. And with that, I do not know of any that are poisonous. So I think humans may have evolved to pre-select for a sweet flavor because it wasn't poisonous. It was also probably seasonal. And if it was available, let's say in the spring, summer timeframe, that's when people would be more active anyway, gathering food, perhaps putting on some pounds to get through the late fall into the winter months, particularly in the colder climates, because mm-hmm. that's when stuff wasn't so available. Until we learned to harvest ahead and be able to preserve those foods, there was some learning the human community around the world had to do to get through the time of year that was lean, however that might be defined, right? Now, if you're in a tropical climate, this might not be so relevant, but if you aren't in a tropical climate, boy, this is a big deal and your survival will depend on it. And so that sweet taste may have well been a protectionary thing that developed to keep us available to have enough access to calories and to be able to eat, right? And not worry about being poisoned. Many of the things that are poisonous, some of them don't taste good or they're bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And there are some bitters that are great for health. They're not all bad, but you know, I that's my theory. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, because it's glucose, which is in a really, or, you know, even fruit, which is fructose, but the body can break it down into quick energy. And so it's easy. The body doesn't need to do anything. It just goes right into the blood and there's your energy.
Boom,
there it is. But let's talk a little bit about sugar in the blood. Can we talk a little bit about that process? Because that beautiful balance is so important for the body to optimally work. And if we start to mess with the balance, that's when we start to see things fall apart. So can you kind of unpack that for us a little bit so we can kind of understand? Because I truly believe when we have the fuel that we need for our fire to make us better, you know, to truly make us make better decisions, it becomes more natural. And when we truly understand what's going on. So can you kind of educate us a little bit? I love this stuff.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to, you know, take a deeper dive here. So the thing is that there's different kinds of nutrients that serve our bodies, right? We have fats, we have essential fatty acids. They are called essential because we cannot make them. We have to eat them somehow. We got to ingest them. Mm-hmm. The body can't put it together on its own. We've got carbohydrates. We have simple carbs. We have complex carbohydrates. Ideally, we want to focus our efforts on the complex carbohydrates, the ones rich with their natural fiber, you know, like the beans, the lentils, the legumes, the chickpeas, stuff like that. Lentils, I love lentils, chickpeas. Mm. They're just such heroes here because they've got a good balance of protein, carbohydrate, and fiber. It's all in one neat little package. It makes it easy for you, right? You know, you want proteins. You want proteins to anchor your blood sugar and help your mood to be more even. And you also want fiber. You want fiber all day long, whether it's from green leafy veggies, other kinds of vegetables, from fruits that are rich in fibers with the skin on. You know, so you're going to have an apple, leave the skin on. Don't peel it. Same with a peach. Don't peel it. Leave the peel on. Or the berries. They've got those cute little fuzzy hairs on them. It's more fiber, right? There's just easy ways to get the fiber. So you want that balance between the fiber, the fruits, the vegetables, the proteins, the healthy fats. So in that mix, you know, if you're eating whole foods and you're eating them in a relative balance, you're probably going to be fine. Here's where we get unbalanced. If we eat the foods that come from usually the middle of the supermarket, the more processed foods. And I'm going to say that some of the things that are meat substitutes now, you should read these labels. It's still a processed food. It's just a meat substitute. And so while there's a lot to be said for eating foods that are more vegetarian based, more vegan based, depend on your needs. I think it's great for humans to be omnivores. I think we should be eating all of it personally. I've seen people thrive on a variety of regimens, and some people get mad at me, honestly, Becky, because I don't insist that everybody eat one size fits all.
Yes. I love that about you.
We're at different stages in our lives. Like when I was pregnant with my kids, I remember how different my preference was for foods. And I firmly believe that's what I needed then, you know? Like when I was pregnant with my son, I definitely wanted more high fiber, more vegetable foods. I felt great. When I was pregnant with my daughter, I wanted those essential fatty acids, the heavy fats that I don't normally eat. I'm not a person who likes oils.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember I craved it.
Wow, and so I love that.
You know, I remember one time my husband came home from work and he was like, babe, are you okay? Because I was eating.
Avocado oil.
You know, when you roast a chicken, you get the pan drippings from the chicken. I was there spooning it up. I never felt like that, right? My husband's like, who is this woman? Right? But I did at that moment, whatever was going on between me and baby, you know?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I didn't have a craving for, say, you know, some sort of Twinkie-like thing, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Craving for an actual food substance. So in that range, I think you have to pay attention to where you feel good and notice where your energy is. You know, look at your lunchtime. And I'm telling you, if your energy is just gone an hour or two after, chances are there's something out of balance in that lunchtime meal. I think the body gives us great clues. Question is, are we willing to listen to the signals?
Oh, yes, yes. And I want to just bring a little bit more awareness to what you just said, like, and because I think this is so important. This is something that I talk about a lot, is the bio-individuality of every person.
Yes.
And we really think, and this is where I think we get stuck, is because we see that these diets, these keto diets or the paleo or all these diets are working for our friends and they're losing weight and we're doing them. We're like, this is horrible. I can't do this. I'm a failure.
No, you're not a failure.
We have different needs. Yes.
The thing is one size fits all. One size fits all doesn't work for clothing.
Mm-mm.
Exactly. Any kind of clothing, right? We are different sized people.
Yes.
And for nutrition, I think you need to meet the age and stage for that person, right? Like a yes. pregnant woman or a breastfeeding woman is not the same situation as an elderly man. Mm. Their caloric demands are very different. Oh. And the kinds and balance of foods. And then we find out what works for us. Some people do better, frankly, with more complex carbohydrates compared to the proteins and the fats, right? Yes. Other people do better with more proteins compared to the healthy fats and the complex carbs. No one does well with a steady diet of just simple, highly processed carbs. Nobody. No. We can say that pretty safely.
Yeah, that is pretty safe.
Right? Like just nonstop sugar all the time. No, it's not. It's not the recipe for success for humans. Beyond that, though, it's quite a range. And so I think when you've tuned into what works for you or for your family, you may have within a family context, because, you know, this is a mama podcast within a family context, right? Let's talk about that. Sometimes kids have different needs within the family compared to, say, the adults. They may be in a different growth phase. The younger children, you know, and then the preschooler, kindergarten kids, and then grade school. And then as puberty hits into middle school, sometimes people's appetites will soar as they hit that growth spurt phase, if that's how that particular child's development shows up, and then into young adulthood, right? There's big changes in their needs. And I think as long as we've laid that foundation for healthy foods and we've made sure that their taste buds, their palate, what they prefer to eat are those healthy, wholesome foods. You know, as one pediatrician friend of mine says, you don't need to worry about it, because if they go out of range, they'll come back to healthy, because that's where you started them out at.
Mm. I love that.
Right. So we don't panic when we see the teenager, the second they leave the house, has decided they have to have, you know, like two milkshakes and a soda or something like that. And you're like, oh my God.
Yes.
Have I completely wasted my time?
No. Yes. Well, and you know what? I love that you say that, because what I've really started to learn in just, you know, feeding my children is it's more about what I'm doing. And like how, and the example I'm setting. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel that works. It works the best, because then I'm not shaming them or talking bad about food or bringing that negative energy into the space about food, because you can really create, I think we can really create eating disorders if we're just constantly saying, that's going to give you cancer. That's going to make you this. Yeah. That's going to make you that. We really have to kind of back up and truly embody what we want our kids to, how we want our kids to eat by doing that ourselves.
I agree with you 100%. You know, I think it's possible to get disordered eating and or to create an artificial issue. We have to be thoughtful about what we say and how we actually behave, because no matter what we say, our kids watch what we do. That's far more important.
Yes.
Our actions outweigh our words by like probably 100 to 1 by the time they're a teen. And Amen. Part of them pushing away, you know, that separation that's very necessary for them to grow into a healthy functioning adult. They really do need to separate and individuate from parents. And sometimes that's kind of painful on the heart, right?
Yes.
You know, having kids, you feel like there's a person or a piece of your body, a piece of your heart walking around outside your body, right? Like that's a good image. We've heard that before.
Definitely. And
in that, you don't want food or beverages to become a place of war. Rather, getting them with healthy foods, healthy habits, healthy access, and they feel good. They know what feeling good feels like, right? So then when they go to make those other choices, they'll go, oh, wow, I can't think clearly, or I don't have my energy, or my brain's kind of foggy, or I feel tired, or however they're expressing it. And when they're in the middle school years, help to give them language so they can say how they feel and express it. I think whatever we can do to assist our kids in today's nonstop advertising of ridiculousness for food, I think that that's really helpful, because, you know, people don't get paid, as I've been told many times. It's nowhere near as profitable to teach people about healthy eating and healthy food preferences as it is to give them the simple processed stuff. Mm-hmm. Look at the craziness that went on for a while back in the mid to late, I would say 2000s, early 2010s, around the simple idea of planting gardens and having the kids in public school setting eat the vegetables and fruits that came from the garden. They used to laugh at people like Alice Waters over here, not far from me in Berkeley, California, about that. I was like, what? And I never knew what was controversial. You know, she was trying to get water into the schools, trying to get the sodas out. I just thought, we clearly are not trying to set these kids up for healthy success. And then we blame people later on in life when they become pre-diabetic or type 2 diabetic. I'm like, well, what the hell? You don't fund exercise. Mm-mm. You don't fund gym class and PE, you know, the arts, music, etc. There are all these well-rounded things about a person. At lunchtime, you're feeding them stuff that's so processed. and the vending machines are full of soda. What are you expecting? The kids didn't learn to move when they were children in their school, if they're in the public school system, and you're feeding them the very things that we know will set them up for this problem. So then when you wind up with the problem, now you're going to blame people? Really? Yes. Oh, come on.
Well, and then they can't focus.
No.
They can't sit down. So now they have ADD or ADHD. They're then diagnosed and then they're given prescription drugs.
It's one of these things where I'm like, what insane. A setup, you know? I don't think anybody was meant to sit all day long.
Heck no.
Certainly not at that age. It's abnormal, right? But, you know, if you don't give the teachers the resources and support, you know, make sure they have the faculty and the staff and the equipment and a safe playground, you know, then you're going to have these other problems. What I don't like is the blaming that goes on and the shaming. And I just feel like when people are not set up to succeed, we have to recognize that we need to go back and help them reclaim their original self. That's far more useful than the blame game.
Oh, that is so beautiful, Dr. Babb. Like really, like it's really about, you know, we have to advocate for ourselves because the world is not, the world's set up for profit and the world profits from our sickness and the sickness of our children. And it's kind of a system that's set up for that, not for us to be healthy. That's why as moms, we have to like get in there and be courageous and be informed and understand what we're up against. But at the same time, together, we link arms and we fight the monster with love, like Care Bears from our heart, you know, shining love from our hearts.
Shining love from our hearts with that fierceness all of us moms have, right?
Yes.
I used to talk to my own mother about this. My mom would say to me, I don't understand why people want to make so much money off of sickness, disease, and death. Because if you treat your customer well and customer's happy and healthy, they'll live longer and they can buy from you for more time.
Exactly.
I was like, Mom, you're absolutely right.
She's
right.
You know that it's so true. I mean, really, but for the pharmaceutical company, it doesn't make any sense to get anybody better.
The profit model is broken, I feel. I think that, you know, my point of view is that things like drugs and surgery have a place. They can be great and life-saving.
Yes, for acute
issues.
Yes.
When we really need to be rescued in the moment. Otherwise, we won't stay alive.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
Glad for it.
Miraculous.
But I think for things that have to do with type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes, they're chronic illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them are sensitive to those four pillars of lifestyle things, right? Nutrition, stress all day long. Stress is no one's friend. It's a bully.
Mm-hmm.
Poor sleep. Parents, how many of us struggle sometimes with sleep at different ages and stages of our kids' development? And then once they leave the house, perhaps if you're a woman, you're approaching menopause, coming on the other side of menopause, you might find your sleep gets hijacked for reasons that aren't necessarily known to you at the time. And then exercise, you know, and there's all these myths about exercise too. Can we talk about this for a sec?
Yes, please.
You know, exercise is awesome for humans. However, you can't out-exercise a bad diet.
Mm.
You can't out-exercise poor sleep habits. And you can't out-exercise core stress issues where you keep getting put back in the ring. Mm-hmm. Exercise will help you reduce your stress level for sure and is a key tool for stress management, right? But if you have somebody in your life who's just toxic, you got to deal with that because the exercise won't fix them. It'll just help you deal with the nonsense coming from them, right?
Yes.
Exercise is great for mood, can help with depression or anxiety. And it can be hard sometimes if someone feels depressed or anxious to go and exercise, but just getting started and keeping it up for a solid month, just making that commitment can make all the difference to help you if that is a situation that is affecting you now. You know, the thing about exercise though, people often think that it's the key to losing weight. And I'm like, you still have to do the nutrition part, the sleep part, and the stress part, or you will still have a problem with weight.
So
you will not lose the weight if your body feels like it's under threat. So if you're stressed, you will not release the weight. It's how we're designed. You know, if you think about how life was before we figured out how to be indoors and how to, you know, have a steady food supply and supermarkets and all the rest of it, right? It was like fight or flight all day long. We were running from something.
Yeah. Yes.
If we weren't hunting it, it was hunting us. It's a different life. Totally. Nobody was struggling with weight back then. Are you kidding me? You
know? Yes. Well, and I want to touch on this idea of exercise because one thing that I've kind of shifted my perspective with exercise is instead of calling that just movement,
Yeah, like, just call it movement.
Just moving. And, you know, there's been studies that show if you do it for 6 weeks, you literally become addicted.
Yeah.
And it's not that instant gratification like cocaine or, you know, heroin or those kind of things where you get addicted. It does take, you know, the body isn't designed to be addicted to something so quickly. And so movement, if you, like you said, you do it consistently, you know, and the beautiful thing is when you start, then as you start to move and you start to get into that healthier cycle of life, you're going to want to eat better.
Yeah.
You're going to want to drink more water.
It'll pull you forward.
Yes, it is. It's like the one baby step. So if you don't start with movement, you know, maybe it's starting with food. Now you are an expert in diabetes, which I really want to dive into this because this is so important. Because I'm sure everybody here knows at least one person that has diabetes.
It's incredibly common.
It is. And so can we talk about like where are we currently at with diabetes in the world? Geez. And as moms, you know, I don't want to come from a fear perspective, but I really want them to understand that this is what can happen. And this is why we're fueling ourselves to make better decisions on what we bring into the home. So let's kind of back up a little bit. Like, where are we at with diabetes in the world?
Yeah. Well, right now here in the US, the numbers are staggering. It's more than 1 in 3 people, approaching 1 in 2 people, has type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, and the smallest group by far is type 1 diabetes. So let's take a moment just to explain.
Okay,
type 1 diabetes is usually, it used to be called childhood onset. Now it also shows up with adults, unfortunately. But the issue is that the pancreas no longer makes insulin, right? So they have to take insulin as a medication for the rest of their lives. That's a fact. Okay, so that's one group, but that's roughly 5% of all the people who have any kind of diabetes in the US, 95%. So 19 out of 20 people, let me keep that number thing. I don't want people to get tripped up with math. 19 out of 20 people have either of the people who have diabetes in the US, 19 out of 25 have either pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes. And there's a ton of people who haven't been diagnosed. Those numbers could easily be double. So as we approach almost half of the population struggling with blood sugar issues, we know that this is a catastrophe and we've got to do something about it. It's an epidemic. And it preceded the pandemic. And my prediction is the pandemic, unfortunately, will make it even worse because of the stress people are feeling and the lost sleep, people who have businesses that are under threat, people who are trying to find jobs and they're feeling under threat, people who've had retirement plans perhaps blown up, education for children, all sorts of things that were probably going along. And now, boom, through no fault of their own.
Wow.
And a big event has happened and we aren't fully on the other side of it yet. You know, as I look at this, it's a situation that is ripe for issues with blood sugar. It is ripe. Mm-hmm. Whether people perhaps are overeating unconsciously because that they're feeling stressed, you know, the stress changes our hormones. It changes our hunger hormones and it changes our hormone for feeling satisfied when we eat. Mm-hmm. So leptin and ghrelin, that dance between the two around feeling full and feeling hungry really gets skewed in the presence of chronic stress. If you're losing sleep because of the current situation economically for whatever reason, or you're just feeling more anxious, even if you yourself aren't under direct threat, sometimes people just feel or vibe the mood around them, right?
Yep.
Same result. Your blood sugar might start to inch up. I've had a number of people say to me, wow, I noticed in 2020 when I went to my doctor, if they did go and were able to go, that my A1C, the long-term measure of blood sugar, as well as fasting blood sugar, morning sugars, my doctor said this was going up. This is for the people who otherwise were not in the diabetes conversation. And they're like, now I understand why, because I've been trying to educate people about the role stress plays in this and or the loss of sleep, poor quality sleep. It's either poor quality or not a long enough time asleep. Mm. When you're asleep, your soul resets, your body repairs, your blood sugar is supposed to come down. And if this insulin, blood sugar, insulin glucose sensitivity isn't right, it doesn't adjust down. It goes up.
Mm.
This is the problem. So the body never gets back to reset.
Oh,
right? Like if you're angry, if you're upset and your emotions keep you in that place, can you imagine when you go to sleep, right? You should wake up hopefully with a new perspective, a new start on the day.
Yeah.
And if this goes on for weeks and months, how good is that if you stay angry like that? Okay, so how good is it if your blood sugar is high like that?
Mm-hmm.
So since a lot of people don't get checked regularly, so my shout out to everyone listening, please make sure you have your blood sugar checked at least twice a year.
Mm.
Minimum, at least twice when you go to the doctor. And if you don't, can't, or aren't able to, you can get blood sugar tests online. Just Google it. This stuff is now available to the general public. You do not have to go through your doctor or nurse. Now, I'm not saying here that people should do any self-diagnosis, but don't let the lack of access keep you from getting those numbers. Those kinds of tests are cheap now. They're anywhere from $8 to $20, $25. This is affordable.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
There's so many people on the other side with the demand. I think it has forced the prices down, which is a good thing, right? Yes. Finally, you know, people can come up with $8 or $25 to find out information that might be life-saving.
Mm, that is so incredible. Right? Yeah, I mean, because so many of us are under a lot of stress. We're not eating, which then leads us to eating more.
Exactly.
Right. It's kind of, I mean, so what do we, people, this is one of my questions. It's like, when people are in that spiral, you know, they're not sleeping, they're stressed, you know, what is like the first things they can do? I mean, what is like, what are some simple things, right, that they can start to do to get to stop the spiral and start to reverse what's going on?
Hey, Becky, great question. So let's dig in here. Some simple things I tell people to do is to have their own like emergency package ready to go. So if you know you're getting stressed and you recognize you're in this spiral, or just listening to this podcast, this recording, you're like, aha, now I know what's going on with me.
Yes.
What you want to do is this. The next morning when you wake up from feeling either really stressed, this is one way, or the other way it can be the case that you'll experience this is you had a poor night's sleep.
Mm.
You want to that morning make sure this breakfast is as healthy as you can figure out. I'm going to give you the recipe right now. Okay. You're going to want to have healthy protein in that breakfast. You're going to want to have essential fatty acids, and you're going to want to have fiber. Mm-hmm. You're going to fill your plate with that and leave maybe 25% of your plate for a complex carb. So let's be specific.
Yeah, please.
For a person who's eating meat, you're going to want to have some kind of chicken or turkey. It could be turkey bacon. It could be like a chicken thigh or a chicken breast. A portion roughly the size of the palm of your hand. Mm-hmm.
What about eggs? Adjust
for different size people. Eggs are fine.
Okay.
1 to 2 eggs is fine. Yep. If you are okay with both the egg protein, the white part and the yellow part, the fatty part, great. The yellow, the yolk is great for your brain, your nervous system.
Yes.
So if you tolerate eggs, you can have eggs. It could be the chicken breast. It could be salmon. It could be fish. It could be turkey, whatever it is, but protein, right?
Yes.
You want to have leafy greens. I'm going to tell you why. Leafy greens are full of those wonderful plant-based nutrients, those phytonutrients, when we use fancy words, phytonutrients.
Love it. Yes.
They're full of antioxidants, water, and fiber. Oh my gosh, right? So now we've got protein, we've got the fiber, we've got a little bit in the way of complex carbs from our leafy greens. Mm-hmm. The next thing you're going to want to add is more of the specifically essential fatty acid sources. That could be nuts or seeds, or it could be avocados. You have lots of choices here. So if you've got allergies to nuts, don't despair. We got you.
We have
the seeds, avocados, whatever makes sense for you. Then that last portion can be those complex carbs. Now I'm going to give you a cheat because some people say, but I don't want to eat, let's say, chickpeas or lentils with my breakfast or black beans or kidney beans, right? Yes. Okay. So I'm talking to you folks who are left now, going like, oh my gosh, all this stuff's just too healthy. I don't want it. Okay. I'm talking to you right now. If you want to have something like a waffle or a pancake, like in a stack of them, don't have a stack. Have a single pancake or a waffle. And here's what you do. You take, sometimes I have this on my desk. I don't. Like a quarter cup to a third of a cup of ground flaxseed. So you can go to the store and buy ground flaxseed meal. So it's ready to go for your emergency kit. You can grind them yourself. You have a little coffee grinder. You can put the flaxseeds in there.
That's what I do. I love it.
Yeah. And make them fresh. However you do it, just get it done. No excuses, folks. Get this done. Sprinkle them on there and go on and enjoy it as you would normally. And it will help literally. I think of the ground flax seeds as like a sponge for blood sugar, a sponge for unfriendly kinds of cholesterol. Simple.
Love it.
You drink enough water, right? Because something that's that fibrous, you absolutely want water so you don't wind up constipated. If you drink it with the water, you'll have no problems with your bowel movements.
Awesome.
Not to be gross, I just want to be clear.
No, I love talking poop. It's important. It's important. Our body's always talking to us. So I love this. You know, it's starting, you can really get out of the spiral by starting to nourish your body.
Yes.
Now you're nourished. What is going on? What is happening now? What's getting balanced, and how can people start to feel that difference in that shift?
Great question. So what's getting balanced is this. Remember, I talked a little bit about the hunger and the satisfied hormones, right? Ghrelin and leptin. Those two are completely cattywampus. They get out of balance when we're stressed or if we had poor sleep. This brings them back into regulation. This keeps you from spiraling out and deciding that you have to have a bag of chips for lunch.
Yes.
That's not going to be a good decision.
No.
If you're stressed or if you've lost sleep, because leptin and ghrelin are struggling. We bring them back into balance. We feed our tongue, keep these taste buds engaged with a wide range of flavors.
Love
so
it.
That we can be healthy and whole. And then you go, okay, morning, breakfast. I got a solid meal to anchor my blood sugar and my mood. I'm not hangry. I'm focused. Yep. I'm energized. I'm nutrified, right?
You
go into lunch. You're going to do something similar for lunch. Again, you're going to have a healthy lunch. By the time you get to dinner, you should be in pretty good shape. I have found for my patients over the almost 30 years now, this kind of a dance with them having that emergency kit, this mentality of this is what I need to do to stay out of trouble.
Yes,
really works. And it keeps people from falling off the rails and just doing ridiculous things for weeks on end. They get back on track.
Yes.
You know, because we blame ourselves when we struggle, but you know, shoot, we're all human.
We're all human. We're all yes, we all struggle. And it's like, you're not alone. There's so many people that struggle here. And our world is, like we said, it's not set up for health. No. It's not set up to support you. So you have to be the advocate. And you have to start saying, okay, I notice I'm in the spiral. Like you said, I'm aware that I'm kind of in this hamster wheel. I'm going to stop. Right. I'm going to go and nourish my body. And then I'm going to continue. And then from there, what's beautiful, then your body's getting the nutrients it needs. It has the fats to build the cells, the brain cells, the neurotransmitters. You're starting to, like you said, regulate your blood sugar, which then helps balance the body and the pH of the body. And you're helping your body get back to homeostasis, because that's what it's always trying to do.
That's what it's always trying to do. So since I know that this is a parent-friendly podcast, let's give another version of that same breakfast. This will be a liquid one.
Oh, I love it.
A green smoothie, a protein green smoothie, right? So you can add 1 to 2 scoops. Usually that's going to be 1 to 2 tablespoons, maybe 3 of, look on the label for what they recommend. There is some variety here of protein in your blender.
Yep.
And you can add in whatever kind of milk you enjoy.
Yep.
It could be oat milk. It could be cow's milk, if that's something you actually digest and isn't part of the problem.
Right.
Right. Like, because different people have different responses to different kinds of, whether it's like cow-based milk or some other sort of milk-like substance, right?
Yeah.
You can put in a banana. Bananas are so rich in certain nutrients, especially potassium and other nutrients that people often need. You can add to that 2 handfuls or so, let's say, of fresh green spinach. Mm-hmm. It could be dino kale. There's all kinds of leafy greens that would be eligible here. You could put in like half of a cucumber. People have different things that they enjoy, right? Then you can add to that either berries or apple slices. Could be peaches.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And just mix it up. You taste and you'll find different things that you enjoy and others where you're like, I didn't really like that.
Yeah.
If you make that mix, bonus, you could add in, if it makes sense for you, like a half a tablespoon of, say, a coconut cream.
Yes.
Some that don't have 1,000 preservatives in them.
Yeah. Right?
Fresh. If you have an actual coconut.
Yeah.
Take a scoop.
Yeah. Just look for coconut and water. That's like the 2 ingredients. No guar gums or anything.
Coconut and water. Yeah. Coconut flesh and coconut water.
Yes. And it makes it so rich and fatty and like flavorful. I'm obsessed with coconut cream.
And the thing that's nice about this is that the whole family can have this. So if you're really pressed for time, this takes you all of 3 minutes to put together.
Yeah.
Maybe the night before you set out everybody's cups. You know, when the kids were younger, we would have, of course, sippy cups. You know, now they're a lot older. Could be in a thermos and you pour it out to go, you know, whatever makes sense for your family to thrive and succeed. And I'm a fan of prepping this stuff the night before, not anticipating that the next day when you wake up is going to be awful, but just so that you can make this easy for yourself. Maybe just have the cups set out. Maybe an older child, a teenager, can help with this. You just need a format that will work for you, that lowers your stress and is not something that's just overwhelming. You know what I'm saying?
That. Yes. Yeah. And it's really simple. That's one thing I do to make sure I'm having my lemon water is I put the cutting board out, put the lemon, put my cup, put my knife there. I mean, it takes 2 seconds to get all that stuff together, but if it's already there, I'm like, okay, that's what I'm doing. It is. I like to think of it like we're just helping out our future selves.
I love that. That's great.
Isn't it great? Like you're just thinking, okay, I know when Hangry Becky shows up, so I'm going to make sure she's taken care of by making this hummus or having some veggies for her. You know, it's kind of thinking like, hey, let's support our future selves in these moments where we know that we're not going to want to make a healthy meal. So let's do a little prep time. I love that green smoothie recipe, by the way. I love smoothies.
Yeah. They're simple. They're refreshing. Mm-hmm. And the thing I've noticed is that it doesn't seem to trigger eating problems. Some of my patients who have the history of being pre-diabetic or type 2 diabetes, heart disease, things like that, they do have a history of eating disorders. And I've noticed what sorts of processes and recipes really seem to help, where there or others would that I used to in my younger years as a doctor, I thought prescribe, and I got so much pushback, and I realized that was the wrong strategy.
Oh,
it was provocative, right? Or it reminded them of something that had was triggering. And I was like, okay, that's not healing. Let's not do that.
That's
that exchange and doctor patient, we learn.
Yes.
You know, I think a doctor who's in it for the right reasons and who actually cares about the results for his or her patients, we want to get that feedback so we can be better. Yes. So any of you who have given feedback to doctors, whether they received it well or not, thank you for saying something.
Oh, I know. Thank you. No, I just have so much admiration for you, Dr. Bev. Like, I really just love your work. I mean, really, heart. You are part of this grassroots movement to truly help people that are struggling with diabetes and blood sugar issues. And a lot of people that are on this, they just go and get the insulin. They don't change anything about their lifestyle. And
Who are type 2 diabetics resent being put on insulin. Yeah. And I'm like, look, it's there to get you out of a jam.
Right.
But if you're a type 2 diabetic or pre-diabetic, understand that you can do things to help restore insulin sensitivity and potentially reverse your situation, but you have to participate. This isn't Jiffy Lube where they do something to you. Rather, you walk on the path and you find your guide to help you on that path to a healthier blood sugar level. Exactly. One thing I will say with the people who have type 1 diabetes, people whose pancreas don't make insulin, they're usually far more open to and much more aware of the need for lifestyle to support them so that they can stay healthy. I think the sense of threat is far more immediate for someone who's type 1 diabetes. Someone who has type 2 or pre-diabetes sometimes don't take that so seriously. Mm-hmm. And then things gradually, little bit by little bit, just get worse, because it's a relentless process. Type 2 diabetes and pre-diabetes do not go on vacation. They don't take a break, right?
Right.
That's the difference. And so some people say, as practitioners, as doctors, nurses, other kinds of health professionals, that it's harder to help people who have type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes because they don't feel that sense of threat. And all I can say is if you've watched a family member be severely affected and die or lead such a miserable life, then the bottom line is this: you don't have to have that same outcome, but you do need to be actively engaged in your health. You don't have to be perfect. As one patient of mine put it, she said it beautifully. She said, progress, not perfection.
I love that. I love that. Yes. Cause it really takes off the stress of it and the expectations. And I really go back to, you know, I can see how, you know, because type 2 and type 3 diabetes, which I would like to touch on type 3.
Sure.
I'm not too aware of that. I want to bring that up.
We can talk about that.
Yes. But in type 2, because it's a lifestyle chronic illness, it's not like you eat a big thing of Ben and Jerry's and you're diabetic. I mean, this is like decades of this lifestyle. And then you get to this point and now you're forced. Well, you're not forced, but you're encouraged to change your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right. And that's hard when you're at point. You're like, but I like to eat this way. This is what my taste buds like. But can you tell us about the taste buds?
Yeah. So let's visit the taste buds and then we'll talk about type 3 diabetes.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yes.
So taste buds are an interesting thing. And some of the research that's been shown, I've looked up some of this research in the national databases here in this country and other parts of the world. Here's the good news, friends. Taste buds change. Yes. We get a brand new set every 10 to 14 days.
That amazing.
Less than 2 weeks.
It's
so
amazing.
You can retrain these puppies. Okay.
Yes.
So your taste buds, you could do something about that, right? So you keep feeding them goodness, feed them a wide range of flavors and tastes, not just the simple processed salt and incredibly ridiculously added amount of sugar, but a wide range of flavors and tastes. And here's the thing, give yourself some grace, give yourself some time.
Yes.
Your taste buds are turning over. And after 2-3 cycles of them turning over, so let's say that's 6 weeks. to 2 months. Yep. It could be as fast as 2 weeks, but let's say it's longer.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Your body will respond, but you got to give it a chance.
Yes. And be consistent and really get into the mindset, like love yourself, like nourish yeah. yourself. Like yeah. you deserve it. You deserve yeah. to be nourished, and it's not a quick fix. It's not sexy. It's kind of mundane. I mean, it's doing the things every single day and knowing, right. and what's beautiful, 2 months is nothing.
It's nothing. You talked about your future self. I love what you said. Yes. It was so beautiful. That's the conversation you have to have, the mindset. This yeah. is a gift to my future self.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Show up for your future self, because your future self is going to be like, you go past self. I'm better. I'm feeling good. I love it. Oh, I love it. Okay. So can we dive into type 3 diabetes? Because this sure. is fairly a new term, right? That yeah. we're seeing now. And yeah, can we kind of dive into that? Because I'm just really fascinated by it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm starting to hear more and more people, more and more health professionals, more and more folks who are fans of health and healthcare, really caring for health, not managing disease, talking yeah. about type 3 diabetes. So type 3 diabetes is thought to be what happens to blood sugar changes that precede the changes that are under the category of dementia. Mm-hmm. And a subset of that would include Alzheimer's disease. And in that, you know, sometimes people will show up with these blood sugar changes, often in a range, frankly, of pre-diabetes, not even necessarily type 2 diabetes. Mm. Pre-diabetes is where blood sugar levels are out of the normal range, but not high enough to be considered type 2 diabetes. And then type 2 diabetes is where blood sugar levels are at the highest end of the range, right? Mm. So type 3 diabetes, I've seen most common clinically, interestingly, in the people who have pre-diabetes. In addition to type 2, not just the worst end of type 2. People assume it's the worst end of type 2, not necessarily. See what I mean about people not perceiving yes. they're under threat?
Yes. Wow.
Gradually, inch by inch, you know, centimeter by centimeter, they're just losing ground every day, not understanding how much that as the ebb and tide goes, that their health is going away from there. It's receding. And right. if they want to change that, they have got to do these lifestyle things around nutrition, mm-hmm. stress, sleep, exercise. So change yeah. those taste buds, friends. And yes. if you have a parent or a grandparent who's struggling, share with them and keep this simple and doable. But every step that you take that's a positive one for that blood sugar is going to be a good thing. I watched my mother-in-law struggle with her blood sugar. I don't think she was ever diagnosed as that I know of as a type 2 diabetic. She absolutely had pre-diabetes and it preceded the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. Mm. I remember my father-in-law being concerned about that, and we would do some things. I certainly had prescribed some supplements and herbs to help her, and it did make an improvement on that blood sugar. And then he had passed away. She was in assisted living, and other people were not keeping up with that regimen.
Yeah.
And I just felt like things accelerated and got worse for her more quickly. Aww. So I think if someone's in your life and they, or if you have a family risk of Alzheimer's or dementia is the broader category, to be clear. Alzheimer's is a subtype of dementia. Do things about blood sugar. And if it's pre-diabetes, don't just go, it's just pre-diabetes. Uh-uh. No. Take this seriously.
That's actually a wonderful opportunity to get on top of it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a genetic family predisposition, be proactive. You want to exercise. You want to get great yes. sleep. You want to manage your stress and you want to eat well. Yes. Manage the hell out of your blood sugar. Don't be yes. shy about this.
Well, can we talk about that? Because diabetes, there are some genetic implications, right? But there's also the epigenetics or the yes. environment. Can you talk yeah. on that a little bit so we can kind of get a better understanding that just because our parents have diabetes, right. it doesn't mean that, I mean, we have a higher chance because that's the environment or genetics yeah. or how does that all work? And what can we kind of do to support, you know, yeah. ourselves yeah. if we see that in our family?
Yeah, this is a great combo. I'm loving this exchange we're having. So,
okay.
you know, if this is in your family, don't feel doomed. And I know some people culturally feel doomed, like, oh, everybody's got it. You're going to get it too. Just expect yeah. it. Like sometimes families have this conversation. It's a very strange conversation. Do not feel like you are doomed to have anything. Understand though, that genes simply set the stage and your environment and how your life is lived or the things that happen to you, because frankly, we can't control everything, right?
Yeah.
That is whether or not those genes will be expressed. That's your vulnerability. That's why I call stress a bully. To me, stress is like the schoolyard bully picks you up by the collar and tries to slam you up against the wall of whatever your genetic weaknesses are.
Yes.
Some people say that genes are load the gun and environment expresses or pulls the trigger. That's yeah. another image, right?
I see
However
that.
You want to think about that, And so the good news is we think about 70% of health is determined by our environment and lifestyle, and 30% is genes.
Mm.
It means you have some hope here, some semblance of control that you can change that destiny, you know, because within a family, you might find that if there's seven siblings, three have type 2 diabetes, maybe four don't. So let's look at the four who don't.
Right.
Now, it could be one or two of them lead a very unhealthy life and frankly just got lucky. And it could be two of them, though, are on top of their game when it comes to health, right? Mm-hmm. They're exercising 5 to 6 days a week or moving. They're making sure that movement is a focused thing for 30 to 60 minutes. 5 to 6 days of the week. I'm going to say that again. They're making sure that moving.
Yes, moving.
For 30 to 60 minutes. So half hour to an hour, 5 to 6 days of the week is a regular thing. I'm not kidding. Yes. It really needs to be like that.
Yes.
And, resistance training, people, that's moving. So if you work out with weights, that's great. It's such a gift to your metabolism, especially as you age. Right?
Yes.
Because it's more demanding. It will bring that blood sugar down because those muscles are like, hungry. We want
hungry.
You know, you want that, right? Let those muscles work for you. Don't let yourself fall apart in your 60s and 70s. And so with that, right, these are all the things that I think can shift the expression of something like type 3 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, right?
Mm.
So, you know, it depends on though, who's in your ear, as one friend or several friends would say, like the people you hang out with from a health point of view matter.
Yes.
So if they've got poor health habits, they're much more likely to drag you backwards. If you have good health habits, you can drag others forward, but there's this interesting energetic dynamic that goes on.
Yes.
So I would say, rather than cut people out of your life, just understand the effect they're having on you. And does it really serve your health needs? And if it doesn't, find people who are more aligned with your health needs, like who would your future self feel good about?
Yes.
You get to be picky about this.
You do.
Right?
Yes.
It's important. Just like we would say with wealth or finances, you know, or anything else. If you're around mean, nasty people, they're going to drag you down.
Yeah, they are.
You just have to decide.
Your vibe attracts your tribe, and you can attract a tribe to uplift your vibe too. I mean, it's really like,
I love that. That's great.
Yeah. Well, and I love this, Dr. Bev, because it is, you know, food has so much to do with it, but like you said, it's sleep, it's movement, it's community. It's all these beautiful things that make us who we are. And we have a choice in all of them.
We do. That's the good news. We can do something about it. We are not powerless.
And it can change. And it can change. And what I'm hearing too, and that I love, is that when we start to shift, like the body knows what to do. The body has that innate healing capability. And when we support it with nourishing foods, it's going to balance the blood sugar. You're going to feel less stressed.
Right.
And then you're going to have more energy. So you'll be able to move. So it's like this beautiful flow. All you have to do is just step into it.
Step into it. It is a flow. You'll find if you're struggling with cravings and portion control, that gets so much better because you'll be able to benefit from the kinds of foods that give you the possibility for feeling full and satisfied, being able to put the brakes on and you can say, I have enough.
Yes.
Being able to know how much is enough, whether it's food, it's love, it's money, it's sex, it's relationships, it's fun, it's whatever, is a gift. Give yourself that gift.
Yes. Oh, beautiful. Dr. Bev, this is so great. So before we wrap this up, I would really love first, how do people find you?
Sure.
And then we have something exciting coming aboard that we're going to be linking to in the show notes. So can you tell us a little bit about that and how people can find you?
Okay. So folks, if you want to connect, you can go to my website, which is DR, like the abbreviation for doctor. So DRBEVERLYYATES.com. That's DRBeverlyYates.com. Find me on Instagram, same way with the at sign in front of at DRBEVERLYYATES. Facebook, same thing, at Dr. Beverly Yates.
Perfect.
Yeah, we'll be there. And in the show notes, we'll put a link. I have a special offer for people who want to do group coaching and specific health coaching for type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, to just get a handle on this blood sugar stuff. If you'd like to work with myself and my team, come on aboard.
I love it. And this is something too, my friends, if you know someone that is struggling with diabetes, that is on the brink, that needs that support, that this is Dr. Bev is taking this holistic approach. This is all about lifestyle and supporting them. And if you know someone that is open to that, that is ready to really make some changes, please send them this podcast, send them the link. I'll put the link in the show notes so you can make sure that, you know, this is what it's about. We're planting seeds, but we're also sharing. We're sharing this information. You know, we're really trying to get it out there so we can help support our people and our world and our communities, because it is not okay that more than half of us are going to be diabetic. It's just not okay.
This is not sustainable. The amount of illness that will come from this is just not, it's not affordable. And there's just so much lost love and life and joy, you know?
Yes. Like, it's all about, like, we want quality of life and we want to be full of vitality and energy. And that's what we are divinely here to be. So we just got off track. That's okay. Let's get back on track. Right. And Dr. Bev is here to help with that.
Absolutely. Let's get back on track as a community. It would be so great to reverse this tide. You know, we don't have to struggle like this, but we will, like you said, we'll have to link arms. We have to work together to make this different and better. And I totally know this can be done. It's within reach, but we will need to reach for it. It will not come our way. We have to go grab it.
That's right. And we're going to shine love from our hearts like the Care Bears and link arms and walk together and help our future selves and other people's version of their future selves. Like, this is what it's about. Yes. And we're really doing this for our children so we can not leave them a world of sickness and you know, just brokenness. Like, it's time to put it together, and we can do that together. So, Dr. Beverly, I'm so glad that we're connected. I'm so, so honored to support you in your work. And everyone, I'm going to put all of your links in the show notes so people know where to find you. So thank you for being here.
This is a wonderful, wonderful moment. Thank you so much for sharing this. I love talking to you and your audience. I'm so glad for our connection. And I just wish you every continued success. I think that your message is great. Thank you, Becky, for the work you do.
Thank you, Dr. Bev. And thank you, everyone who's listening. We'll catch you on the next Hippie Moms podcast. Bye.
All right. Before you sign off, I just want to thank you for listening. And I hope that you found some incredible little tidbits from Dr. Bev. And if you listen to this podcast and paid attention, you're going to really see that there are some major things that we need to work on, right? How we feed our body, how much sleep we get, how we move our body. So how we feed it, how we move it, how much sleep we get, we rest it. And not only nourishing it, but also what are under stress. Stress has such a huge impact on our lives. And right now, we are so stressed out. This is why it is vital. Turn off the news. Start feeding your mind inspirational information. Start taking control of what goes into your mind and start looking at the thoughts that are keeping you stuck and in that fight or flight. I lived in that space forever. And it's my mission to help moms wake up, to help get them out of that cycle and start to truly embody their who they are. And you are meant to be happy. You're meant to be joyful. You are a divine, infinite being that is here to not only raise the next generation, but to truly live your light. And this is what I am so grateful for, because when we get in alignment with our bodies and we truly start to nourish it and take care of it and rest it and feed it and move it, all the things that are vital for us to be healthy, there are endless possibilities of what we can create in our world, but we have to take care of the vehicle that we drive around in all day, and that's our body. So thank you for joining me. You can connect with Dr. Bev. I put her link in the show notes. Also, if you want to check out the Berkey, you can do that too. Please subscribe to this podcast. And if you would be so kind to leave me a review, I would so appreciate it. I'm really trying to get this message and the message of my guests out to more people. So that's it. All right. We'll check you on the next podcast. Bye.